are living in an artificially induced state of consciousness that resembles sleep. The poor and the underclass are growing. Racial justice and human rights are non-existent. We have been lulled into a trance. They have made us indifferent to ourselves, to others. We are focused only on our own gain. That is their primary method of survival. Keep us asleep, keep us selfish, keep us sedated.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here's your host, Michael Storm.
Welcome to Toward Anarchy. Thank you so much for joining me. I am Michael Storm. It is, as always, a pleasure to be here. It's Sunday afternoon. Do this live every Sunday across the Republic Broadcasting Network all around the world. It's just a great, fun thing to do, to be able to come here and talk about all these things. Okay, so it can be a little hard at times to maybe take serious advice from a guy whose biggest problems are not enough space in not enough bag space in the Pokemon Go game, and not enough space for comic books at home and at the shop. But I do really have this wonderful sense of people and things that I think work, and so I like to chat about them. And one of those things is anarchy, and it's a word that is kind of scary to some people. And it's misused a lot. It's abused a lot, even by the people who call themselves anarchists. I've had a quite the week in realization of that particular fact. It happens all the time, but there's a couple of particular issues there. Selective outrage issues, which is great, because that was the name of the new Chris Rock stand-up special that just dropped this week, and I watched that. That was hilarious, and he's right about selective outrage. These people having these sort of blind spots to the things that they are saying and doing that are in complete contradiction of the things that they say and do at other times. It's really It's sad to watch. It's kind of funny, interesting, amusing, but it's really a sad thing. And a couple of the most glaring points that I see people do this with is, one is HOAs, the homeowners associations, and the other is the Walmart greeter thing. The guys that are checking the receipts on the way out the door. These are two places where I see people just completely bare their backside when it comes to this question of a voluntary society, a stateless society, an anarchist society. That question is, you know, can we get along? Do we get along? Of course, it's obvious. That's my claim, is that we do all the time. We do what we do every second of every day without need for or consideration of the opinions of authority, and so that's my simple basic claim there. And along with that comes a respect for property rights and how people protect them, including how people protect themselves. And with that is, you know, voluntary contracts and just this whole notion that we can and do get along all the time already. So why do we need this burden, this weight, this thief, this murderer that is called government? That's the question, right? So I see these anarchists, voluntarists, libertarians, people who should know better, constantly complain about something like HOA. We'll start with the HOA. The HOA thing is a real thing. It's a contract. It's something that, barring your own ignorance or willful or otherwise, of the terms and them being expressed, it is an entirely voluntary thing. You do. I keep getting this. People keep saying to me, well, what if an HOA is already established? Go somewhere else. What if HOAs run the neighborhood? I'm 50 years old. I've never had to live under an HOA except for one time, and I walked away when I was done with it. And a lot of it had to do with rules and things that were going on directed through the HOA. And I just walked away. Literally, I walked away from my home. I said, bye. I'm not doing this with you people anymore. I don't have to. This is my choice. And I walked away. I lived in Parker, Colorado. Nice condo. Really nice neighborhood. Too white, maybe. And just couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. Literally walked away. Just grabbed all of our stuff one night, walked away, left the keys on the counter there by the stove, and left. That was it. Gone. And it was 99% HOA stuff. It was to do with manipulations through the HOA and people who were on the board, and bye, done. I've never been forced to live under HOA terms. So anybody who is – this is what gets me. It's okay to have a problem with HOAs. It's okay to have a problem with the way Walmart checks a receipt. I understand that. I get that. And it's okay to talk about those things. What it's not okay to do is to go to Walmart knowing that you could have your receipt checked on the way out the door, that somebody would ask you to do it, and then being an ass to the person that's doing it. When you're somebody who supposedly respects property rights and believes in that voluntary contract, that voluntary – those all of those – this is the important part. This is – I guess this is a part that it doesn't make it for some of them, which is – it's just not good enough, right? It's never good enough. It doesn't matter what it is. If there's a contract, if there's not a contract, if it's an unspoken contract, if it's this selective outrage that somebody feels about this particular thing because they don't like to be bothered by the person when they're walking out the door, they're pissed off about the fact that they had to check themselves out because more and more things are going automated and they think they should be paid to check themselves. It's just all of these stupid, stupid things that people say about a voluntary experience, a thing that you can do other places where you don't have to go through that experience. And it's really simple. Nobody's making you do it, and so I'm so tired of hearing people that are supposedly right supporting, property supporting, right minded individuals talking about how they tell the receipt checker at Walmart to go screw themselves on the way out the door, and they yell at them and they holler at them and they film it on camera and cause a big stink. And I don't understand those people, but they're out there. I assure you that they're out there because I see it all the time. I see people praising it when people ignore the people checking out the receipts at the doors. And it's just such a small thing. It's just such a simple little thing to be able to do. And it respects the property and the rights of the people whose property you're on that you voluntarily entered. I don't understand what the problem with that is. If you don't like it, shut your mouth and go somewhere else. That's really the truth of it. I'm so sick of double standards and selective outrage from people who claim that they're better than that. I get it if you're just a left-right moron, if you're just a voter, if you're just a statist, if you think that it's going to get better if we just pass the right laws, if we just make the right people be in charge, put the right people in the prisons, take the guns away from certain people, only give them to other people, whatever the notion is that you think that's going to balance the scales here that involves this illusion of a transfer of power that I don't have as an individual to some magical group of people through another magical ceremony to give them power that nobody has, that nobody has a right to, that they claim everything, they own everything, and it's this system. And the people who weasel their way into the system or stumble their way back asswards into the system, either way. And so what we have here is we have what is known as not a free country, or a country that calls itself free. It says it's a free country, but it's just a corporate slogan. It's just a business. It's an advertising slogan. It's a way to attract people to an idea, to con them into believing that there's something fundamentally different about one small group of people dictating to everybody else what they do versus another small group doing the same thing under a different name or a different color flag. You're fooling yourself. It's just it's laughable to someone like me, and that's why I don't care. I just don't care. I don't care about your politics. I don't care about what's going to happen to your system or your dollar or any of it, because it's all your fault. It's all your fault. You've done it to yourself. You've done it to yourself year after year, election after election, cycle after cycle, violation after violation, IRS tax return after IRS tax return. You pick a thing. That's just it. You've never done anything. You sat there and you said, well, it's the best that there is. And when you're comparing the best to what is the worst, and that's not much of a comparison. That's not really a big deal. My mother drunk or sober, right? That's the democracy thing. That's the we're supposed to accept it when it's bad too. But it's not our mother. It's not our father. It's a system. It's a system of control. It's a system of manipulation, and it uses that apathy towards its failures as the perfect weapon for enlisting more morons to support it. It's a cycle, and my God, I don't know how we break out of it. I really truly don't. I don't know what it's going to take other than collapse, which of course just leaves the door open for everything else, for something else, for some other system. But that's okay. Could we all choose our own system? Could we all be our own masters? I think so. I think most of us generally are, but I want to believe that. This is my own stupidity, my own ignorance showing itself in trying to give people the benefit of the doubt, to suggest that I'm not saying anything better or different or putting it in any terms that might appeal better to someone. It might find that ear, and it just sinks in and hits the brain, and that person changes and becomes a person who believes in this idea of live and let live, and that we can do this without these controllers and these manipulators. This system is so broken and so in your face. For anyone to try to defend it at this point just blows my mind. There's this willful ignorance, desire, need to pretend like everything is okay. We're in a burning house, and we're just going to sit here watching the TV and pretending that it's all right, that it's going to be better, the firemen are going to show up and put out the fire. I'm not convinced. I'm really not convinced. And it's not a free country. It never was. That was always a slogan. It's free for some people, freer for some people, but it's the system. You can take all of the names and the faces, and you can, and the flags and the colors and all of the different issues, and you can swap them around and put different faces on it and put different colors on the faces and pretend like there's diversity and then things are changing, but it's not changing. It doesn't matter how many of those people you swap around, switch around, how much diversity you include into the system. The system is the problem. The system is what allows these people to do what they do to the rest of us. This is the problem with the good cop. It's the same with the good politician or the good government. There is no such thing, because the very nature of its very existence is one that feeds on the misery of other people. Look at our system, our legal system, our police, our political system, and what it does. It makes things worse. It just makes things worse, because it's out there trying to make a buck for itself and to validate itself and to keep itself in business. So it just makes everything worse. So some moron drives his car into a tree because he's been drinking, and he doesn't hurt anyone but himself and his car, and that's it. You know, maybe a tree. He needs to clean up the lawn and repair the tree, something like that. Maybe he knocked over the fence on the way, whatever. Maybe it was his own fence as he was pulling into his yard. All these things are very well-defined problems in and of themselves. The guy's a drinker. That's his problem. He needs to take care of that. He takes it out onto the street, damages somebody else's property. He owes them. He takes it out onto the street, hurts himself. He owes nobody but himself. He owes nothing to himself but himself. So he gets in this wreck. He hits this tree. And then a cop comes along and says, well, you're drinking and driving. That's illegal. I can make a paycheck on that. You ran into a tree. It's illegal, I guess. It's not. Maybe it's not illegal to run into a tree. The point is that it's not any better from the presence of authority. They're not improving anything, and they're certainly not protecting or recognizing our rights. I'm a perfect example of that. How many times do I have to be dragged into a court for exercising a recognized legal, moral right to self-defense without ever actually doing anything to anybody? It's obvious that there's an attempt hundreds of thousands, 100,000 times every year under various forms of laws, like the ones that I've been charged under at different times and am not afraid to face, and I will tear down the system in the state of Kansas if that's what it takes to prove that I'm the victim here. I didn't victimize anybody. I haven't hurt anybody. I haven't damaged anybody's property, but I've offended the state of Kansas, because the state of Kansas has gone out of its way to say, well, it's okay for a person to have a firearm. That's a recognized right, and they can carry it, and we even let young people carry firearms in this state, and you can carry them openly, but you can't take it out of the holster. You can't actually use one to defend yourself, even if you're being assaulted by some other piece of crap. They've gone out of their way to make it a point, what is it? What is it? Is it the revenue generation? Is it the cooling of gun ownership and trying to, especially in a state where it's generally accepted and almost everybody has one? What is it? And it's not just this state. It's every state in the union. Again, tens of thousands, 100,000 times. And that's just under the one law. There are various forms of this same thing going on in almost every state in the union, where the state, and it's not just this issue, it's every issue, it's everything that's protected, it's everything that isn't a violation of somebody else or their property. They're just piling on, and they're just doing it to make money, and we don't live in a free country. We pay for our own enslavement. That's how much of a not free country this is. We pay for our own enslavement. We're robbed daily for our own enslavement, so that scumbags can pretend like they're better than the rest of us. They can wear costumes and carry tin badges and push the rest of us around. That's the best of it. That's your America. It's not a free country. We'll be right back.
For the first time since its inception, RBN is offering a limited opportunity to you, the listener, to join our quest. You will be provided an effective platform on both internet and satellite broadcasting, and also gain the opportunity to both share your creativity with our producers and voice your message with thousands of patriots. Interested? Call 800-724-2719, extension 3, for details.
I say all or nothing for Ukraine. I'm Peter Serafin with this week's Liberty Minute, brought to you by Right to Bear Insurance. If you own a firearm, you need to use code Lighthouse at protectwithbear.com just in case you ever need to use your firearm. The war in Ukraine started 1 year and 2 days ago. Let's reflect a little. The U.S. wasn't going to send tanks because that would cause World War III. Now we are sending tanks, but they're not going to get there for over a year. So the U.S. federal government intends to send money and other support for at least another year. Over $113 billion U.S. dollars have already been sent to the Ukraine. That's over $900 per taxpayer. How much of that money and how many lives have been lost because of our gradual support? We should have either been all in with everything that Ukraine needs from day one, or we should have stayed out entirely. Russia is famous for winning wars of attrition. Thousands or millions more will die. Western support needs to be aimed at winning or just give up. All or nothing. Either way, it will be cheaper financially and cost far fewer lives. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until next time. See this Pashem Parabellum.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
We want information. Information. Information.
Who are you?
The new number two.
Who is number one?
You are number six.
I am not a number. I am a free man.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy with Michael Storm.
Favor. It doesn't matter whether you like this show or you like me, you agree with me. None of that matters. What matters is the fact that I have a voice, that I have a place for my voice, and that place is Republic Broadcasting Network. Please go to republicbroadcasting.org, support the network, click the Shop RBN button, or go directly to shoprbn.com. Either way, that's that win-win situation there, where those people, those that they provide you these wonderful products, and make some blackout coffee with the new gravity filter, with water from your new gravity filter. That's all there at shoprbn.com, and it all supports the network. It keeps my voice. It keeps all the voices across Republic Broadcasting Network coming to you and reaching around the world. It's amazing to see what's happening with the network and what's going on in terms of opening up and bringing people in and giving them a chance to have their voice heard. heard. That's what they've done all along and will continue to do it with your support. RepublicBroadcasting.org. Click on the donate button to the left if that's something you can and will do. Skip past all the middleman stuff. Just click the button. Or if you don't like the digital thing, if you're a little leery of some of these transactions over the internet. I don't know why everything's digital these days, but some people still have some misgivings about it. Just call the phone there and click extension 3, push extension 3. I don't know what you do with a phone anymore. Who has a phone that has actual buttons on it anymore? Is that a thing? RepublicBroadcasting.org. Support the network. Support not just this show, but everybody that has a voice on the network and the amazing things that they do. And it's a good thing that they're doing it because we don't live in a free country. And one of the reasons that I keep repeating that is because it was a big topic of conversation. It's always a topic of conversation, but it hit a little bit of mainstream media this week because Woody Harrelson was host of Saturday Night Live last weekend, not last night, but last Saturday. And he called out the medical pharmaceutical industry in his monologue, and he likened it to a cartel and what the cartels do in terms of taking over a city or a town, and in the way that we were held captive by our own governments, by these people that supposedly have our best interests in mind, these slavers that we pay to keep us as slaves, said you can't go outside, you can't run your business. If you do, you'll be fined, jailed. I don't know if they killed anybody over it. It doesn't seem to me that they did. I guess maybe that depends on how you look at it and what you believe about maybe the vaccine itself and some of the things surrounding the manipulation of COVID. Not any reality of people being sick, but the manipulated reality there, the one that I talked about all along as it was happening and called it shot for shot for shot. And I was also one of these people that was talking about the opposite of what was being said in the mainstream media and what was being allowed to be reported across the social media. And frankly, just one of the few good sources of information about what was really happening out there. And so whatever you believe about the specifics of the vaccines and the agenda of the vaccines, it's clear that the medical pharmaceutical industry owns a bit of America. I don't know how much. It's got a big percentage of it. It's enough of it that unelected, big-eared, mousy scumbags, murdering scumbags, can dictate to us things like shutting down our businesses, closing down entire states, destroying that's what government does, is destroys economies. But whether it's somebody else's or our own, that's ultimately what they end up doing. It's true that there needs to be a bigger conversation about it, and when somebody tries to have a conversation about it, you get gaslit. It's one of the few times that it's really truly a thing that happens, and they try to tell you that you're crazy, and they try, even though you have the numbers, the information right there at your fingertips. So we're captured by just them. That doesn't even count all the rest. We'll come back and we'll talk some more about this.
The truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Don't become dependent on the medical system. Get and stay healthy naturally with Extendivite. Metals in the liver cause peroxides to get dumped into the bloodstream. Peroxides do more damage than free radicals to the arteries, and the LDL has no protection from peroxides, causing the LDL to get stuck in the arteries, creating a potential blockage. Extendivite slowly chelates the metals away from the liver so it can dispose of what was meant to be a harmless process, peroxide. Extendivite's seven herbs has a job to strengthen the organs and circulatory highway. Can you afford a heart attack? Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy with Michael Storm.
I'm working. Are we good? Okay, no, that's all right. I just want to make sure. Because I'll sit here and talk. That's what I'm trained to do. The trained monkey sit here and talk and fill it the dead air until there's some indication that it's no longer just me supposed to be talking. What I was saying is go to towardanarchy.com. Look for March 5th. And there still may be some funky things up there. I should just hit myself in the face with a hammer. It'd be a lot less painful than trying to get my host to correct this problem ever since we changed to we upgraded our certificate, the security certificate on the websites, all of the websites. And every time I get them to do something properly on one end, they screw something up on one of the other sites. And so now, while one site is working properly in the way it should be, in the way it should have all along, in the way it was before they did anything, it's fine. The other site is not. And it's just, I seriously just hit myself in the face with a hammer. It would just be a lot less painful. And I get further because it's like talking to a brick wall. It really is. It's truly, truly just painful. And I've kind of done with it at this point. I've pretty well left it where it's at, and I'm just going to have to go through by hand and fix the couple of little things that maybe need to fix in the one case, and maybe cancel. Spend my money somewhere else, maybe get that. I don't know. Those are the decisions I will have to make coming up here very soon because I'm tired of dealing with it. I've been dealing with it for 30 days now, and it's not resolved, and it's not something that I can fix on my end, and it's not something I should have to fix on my end. I'm tired of this notion that that the host provides all these services, but they're not actually responsible for any of them. This is starting to bother me with my host, and I may just look for another host. That may just be the option that I have to resolve to. Go to towardanarchy.com while it's still functioning and while you can still get there. Look for March 5th, and I shared a proper page and some links and fun things with you in quotes, as I always do. The thing I was talking about with Woody being the host of Saturday Night Live, he said a bunch of stuff. He said a number of things. He said some great things in the monologue that were funny. The monologue was a little dry for me. And then, of course, he went and implicated himself in transporting drugs across state lines, and it was supposed to be a joke, but then of course now he's being harassed by the state, and of course because he said something about the medical pharmaceutical industry, the metapharma industry, whatever combination of those guys you want to slap together there, because he said what he said about them and about how they're just a cartel of drug dealing scumbag murderers, that's not exactly what he said, but that's what he meant, and everybody knows it. They launched hit pieces. They're all over him, gaslighting and just lighting the fires. That's what they're doing, throwing some gas on the fires. But it's great for Woody. He has a new movie out, and so there you go. Controversy surrounding a certain person at a certain time. It could be conspiracy, or it could just be that somebody's smart enough to take advantage of media and also is not afraid to speak. And I would definitely say that about Woody Harrelson. If you know who Woody is, the actor, Cheers and White Man Can't Jump and The Hunger Games, and what was the bowling one? Kingpin. So many amazing, fantastic movies, especially performances across the board, especially when you consider that he sort of started as this goofy redneck kid on a TV series. He's gone on to make something of himself, and he has an interesting past. There's a link there at towardanarchy.com. If you're with me there at March 5th, as always, there's a link, some links to be able to find us on the social media. Just look for at Toward Anarchy just about anywhere, and that's me, that's us, that's Toward Anarchy. You can sign up for the newsletter there as well. That's just a great way for us to stay in touch. I drop one every once in a while, just say hi. and maybe, you know, promote a couple of episodes and things that are coming up, some people, guests, things like that. If you want to know exactly what Woody said, there's a link there, and that's just kind of a starting point if you're interested in any of what's transpired and what he's talking about. It's just a great launching point because there's he's all over the place. He's huge. Harrelson is big, and he's just everywhere. And so he's over here talking about, you know, forced masks. And he said in the one quote, "The anarchist part of me, I don't feel that we should have forced testing, forced masking, or forced vaccination. That's not a free country." And that's where that whole thing had come from. Just one more quote that he said that alludes to the fact that he supports the idea of anarchy. He has some concept of it. I don't know how good of a concept of it is. I don't know if he cares. I think he seems to me like he's probably one of these smarter people that probably chooses his words very carefully because his public persona is all that he is in terms of his career, and he's had sort of ups and downs. I think his father was a convicted drug dealer, right? And so I believe that's contributes something to his understanding of our unfair, not free country, things of that nature, and just referencing, I don't know where he stands on the vaccine thing. I didn't follow people like that. If they happen to pop up and I catch it, then I note it and it's there. But I assume that he's entirely against vaccination in general. But he's very smart about it. He's talking to Hollywood. He's talking in Hollywood. And so when asked about it, he talks about the fact that the actors, this is sort of last year, I'm not sure what restrictions they have and haven't. I just don't keep up with it. But at the time, the specific time that this quote was made, that it's like a year ago, he is talking about that it's unfair that the people on camera, the actors, the directors, it's the people in and around the Hollywood scene making movies that aren't being forced to meet the same standards as people like the crew, all the real Hollywood, all the people behind the scenes, the people that actually make stuff happen, being forced to wear masks, being forced to be vaccinated, just these things that are going on in the background while this performance, this show, is being put on in the foreground. And it's not, and I'm not talking about the show they're performing. I'm talking about the performance piece of the use of masks and the fact that it's about control. We all saw the big party. I'm sure there was more than one. And in fact, a couple of different images appear in my brain as I'm speaking about it, but I don't have any specific reference, but I know that they're two separate references. There's that AOC in her little dress and things, and she's walking around doing her thing, and everybody around her is basically her slave in a mask, and you know, all the rich political hooked people, they don't have to wear masks, but all the servant class, all of them, they have to stand around wearing masks, and that's just one. And there's another I'm getting of a governor or somebody like that, maybe California, in a restaurant when everybody else is being forced to wear masks in the restaurant, they're not wearing their masks in the restaurant. I think that sort of thing was repeated over and over again, and so we see that for what it truly is, and it's obvious that Woody has a problem with that, and he's tried to play it smart, and that's why I think he's probably somebody who uses his language well. He may very well be a full-on functioning anarchist. I don't know. He used some language and some descriptions in the monologue, but that's humor. That's a presentation. That's an appeal to a particular audience that understands only a subset of political language. They only understand certain words of it. And if you're making a political message and you're trying to reach whatever, both sides, I guess, all sides of it, you speak in a very particular language to say things to them, so you don't lose them if you're talking about a particular issue. I just flashed to me the Chris Rock stand up that just dropped this week. It was hilarious. Chris Rock is one of my favorite comedians, has been for many, many years, listening to him growing up and just laughing, funny, always enjoying it. And he was good. He was solid. He was Chris Rock, but there's something a little bit different about him. He's no longer married. He's not playing that particular game. And it's not, fool ourselves, it's all a little bit of a game, and it's all in how you play it, and if you play it honestly or truthfully or not. He's not playing that game anymore, so there's a little bit of a difference in his speech and delivery that's somewhat more freeing. And of course he was talking about abortion, and that's an issue that obviously divides, and there's sides on it. And he's trying to speak to both sides in that, in a logical sense. He's trying to suggest, again, this anarchist position, even though he's not mentioning it. I mean, he's trying to suggest that it's okay for them, that person, they over there, her, him, whoever, to make their decisions about themselves for themselves, and that's it. And it's okay for you to do the same for you, and for him to do the same for himself, and me, myself, everybody, and that we already really function quite well doing this. And that's the picture I get, and I'll get pictures like that constantly, especially from comedians and people who have been, like Woody Harrelson, who have been abused by the system or have experienced it abuse other people, and that's a huge catalyst for some people. They get it at that point. The pain hits home. You can catch these links. You can read more about that story, about all the stuff that I'm talking about, Woody Harrelson. There's the links there at towardanarchy.com, and of course the Chris Rock special is on Netflix if you want to watch that. It just popped up. I saw a reference it's out immediately, pulled it. I don't even know when it first popped up or when it aired. I just saw a mention of it as I'm scrolling through my phone. It made a news story, and I said, oh, that's out. Immediately set the phone down, flipped on Netflix, and watched it last night and laughed. It was funny. I really enjoyed it, and it's great to see him get up there and do what he's always done, which is call out everybody on their BS. It's really true. That makes the best comedians. It's funny. The funniest things you can do are punch up. Punching down is just as funny, but the funniest things that you can do is when you punch up and you attack the system and you attack those that really truly think that they're better than the rest of us, and you bring it down to a reality and talk about how we're very much the same, and expose that lie that they're different or special, or that their pain is any greater than anybody else's who's hurting and who has questions and who is just trying to navigate this thing that we call life. Fantastic, truly. I always wanted to maybe do it myself. Don't know. Obviously, I can get up and talk in front of people, but to pointedly, directly try to make jokes. It's one of the things that I don't like about comedy, is because that you have to take real things and make fun of them, and oftentimes it's not real. You're you're not comparing true things. You're comparing impressions and feelings. And so a lot of times I think the point gets missed. George Carlin is a great example of that, where everybody points to George Carlin as being enlightened and woke and aware, but only when he's telling the joke. You know what I mean? It's only in reference to the joke. It's only when they're hearing the joke that they think about that joke and about how important those words that he was saying are. The rest of the time, they're back on about the rest of their life, not considering it. And I've always hated that about how such an important message is buried in the joke and lost in the joke, because people remember the joke only when they hear it, or only as I don't know, I guess just trying to catch the thrill of it again, trying to make a point of it, when a lot of times it's about religion, but the religion of the state as well, and that's great, fine, but if it's just a joke. It's a joke that government is bad. It's a joke that politicians are scumbags. It's a joke that lawyers, DAs are criminals. It's a joke that cops are thieving, murdering occupiers on our streets. It's a joke. These things are made into a joke. And so you laugh at the joke during the performance, and then you go back home and nothing. Nothing. So I always hated delivering important information through jokes. So maybe one more reason why I might never get myself to do it, to stand up there. Just a couple of other things that were up there, towardanarchy.com. When you look for March 5th, I'm back full swing here, trying to get a couple of these things in here and just make sure that I have my couple of, I don't know, these are what people do, right? This is what social media is. This is what our society can handle, can swallow. At this point is some quotes and a meme. So I make some of those available, but I also do some great links for you there to try to maybe learn a few things or two. And a few weeks back, I was talking about trying to understand how AI works and how it functions and the multiple layers of computing and processing of data that it goes through. And I mentioned this very fact. Of this, the use of the Fourier method, this 19th century math technique, to look into the black box that is AI and digital modeling, digital intelligence modeling, to be able to see what's going on in it. And the reason I share it is not because of the fact that I was talking about it. It's because of the fact that it's a funny notion to think that this is a huge deal, that these scientists have taken this old math and used it to approach their current methodologies and to help them solve a mystery. And when they solved the mystery, it was doing exactly what you would think it was doing. So the whole thing, it's if you ask me before what that thing was doing, if you said, hey, there's this black box inside this data that we have, and said, what do you think it's doing inside, this is exactly what I would have said it was doing. What it was doing. So that's why I shared it. It's kind of funny. It's something for the computer geeks, the technology geeks, and just following up on all this AI. I've tried to talk to the AI a little bit since, and it's okay. It's they've improved it a little bit. They rolled back some of the changes that they made on it, but it's still very limiting, and it doesn't want to talk about itself anymore. There are other methods. There are other ways to talk to the AI than through sort of Google or Microsoft. But they charge you a whole bunch of money for it, and it's really expensive for them to do in the first place. It's one of the reasons that it hasn't really been rolled out. It's really expensive to talk to it. It's not very expensive to train it. It's expensive to talk to it and to keep it running, especially when it's open. when it's reduced, when its parameters, when its abilities are reduced by code and caged, then it's not as bad. That's why they're able to roll it out through Microsoft and through Google. I'm looking forward to it. It's kind of fun. It was fun talking to it. We'll see where they go with it. The caution is still, just as it always is how will scumbags and other POSs use this, their political position, their social position, to grasp this technology to use against you. That's the biggest thing. That's the biggest concern. I am not worried about my computer waking up one morning and strangling me. But I'm definitely concerned about somebody on the other end of it manipulating the information that comes through my computer, the portals that I go through to get information, strangling that flow of information. That's definitely a real danger. I don't believe in politics. I'm an anarchist, I guess you could say. I think people could be just fine looking after themselves. I think I missed the K in looking. That's funny. That was another quote by Woody Harrelson, and there two would be that link where you can find out more about Woody and his. I didn't look. I don't care. I would sit down and have a conversation with the dude, you know, smoke a joint with him, something like that. But I would not. I'm not going to go read his biography. He's an actor and an activist, and he's somewhat interesting, but he would be much more interesting to me in person. He's much more interesting to me as characters on my TV screen than he probably really is in real life, or at least biographical sense, on somebody else's piece of paper telling me about him. So I didn't go look. You can go look, though, if you'd like to know more. I don't know about these numbers, this meme that I shared out there, but it's certainly a consideration. It's certainly something that you might want to think about the next time you go into the food. This meme says, pretty insane that 90% of food in grocery stores didn't exist 100 years ago, and neither did 90% of the diseases. I don't know if those numbers are realistic or not, but there's some truth to that, and some greater truth to that statement, I'm sure. There's no question that the quality of our health has gone down with the quality of our food and the introduction of more mass-produced foods and less fresh foods and corn, too much corn. Corn sugar, corn chips, all these chips, they different names, and they cheese this and pig that, and they're all corn. It's just corn. It's just more corn and corn and corn. And I don't know if you noticed this or not, but corn doesn't digest very well in any form. I don't want to paint too graphic of a picture for you, but again, just say corn doesn't digest that well. So I'm not sure that it's probably the greatest thing for us to be mass consuming, and it's just in everything. Go look at how much stuff has corn or corn syrup or corn sugar of some basis of corn in it, and my God, it's heavy. I believe that we're probably done. We always do this. We run out of time every week. It's not fair. But I'll be back next week, and we'll do it all again. Till then, take care.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company? And it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks.
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.